We've gotten up to Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9, where the Lord's Prayer starts. Just as we are a week out from September 11, there are a lot of issues having to do with prayer that come to mind. We've heard stories of people that were, especially in the one flight that was redirected, stories like the Tom Burnett, who called his wife from the airplane and was connected with an wasn't able to get through to his wife to talk to a woman named Lisa who related the conversation. And he said, would you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? And they used the Lord's Prayer together as their prayer. And then when Todd called out afterwards, Jesus help me, and that was the last that Lisa heard. The plane was downed in Pennsylvania rather than in the capital where apparently it was headed. Prayer has been controversial. In New York City, the 9/11 commemoration event scheduled for next Sunday, the mayor has decided not to allow any form of prayer at this event. Even though many pastors have asked him to consider including a prayer as part of the event. In other parts of the country, like here in our own courthouse next Sunday, there's going to be a public prayer event. This is an advertisement I picked up for that. 2 o'clock, there'll be pastors leading prayer at the county courthouse next Sunday as part of commemorating the events of September 11, 2000. Calling for God's mercy on our country. This week we continued Jesus' teaching on prayer, and halfway through the week I became very intimidated as I read what commentators had to say about the Lord's Prayer, partly because there's just so much that has been written. And partly because my own prayer life is nowhere near where I would like it to be. And also partly because Chip Zachary already had led us to a very good series of lessons on the Lord's Prayer during our Sunday night meeting. And I don't really have much to add to what he already said. His lessons focus more on teaching it from the perspective of the Reformed Catechism, especially the Westminster Catechism. I'm going to complement that, I'm not going to refer much to the Westminster Catechism, although I think it's a great resource for understanding the Lord's Prayer, since Chip covered that well a couple of years ago for our church. I'm not going to focus on that this morning, but I still recommend the Westminster Catechism to you for your consideration. I want to just focus on what Jesus said here, chapter 6, verse 9, and think through the meanings and the uses of the words in their context. Jesus speaks to the disciples using a plural you and says, pray thus, and begins, our Father in the heavens. The word thus, the suto, is, can somebody maybe straighten that out so we can see the both sides of the screen? Thank you. doesn't necessarily mean in this exact same way, but similarly, after this manner, in this manner, in this way. It indicates that he's going to give us a pattern, a template. Not necessarily the exact words to always use. This is a pattern he's giving to us. I think that the rest of Scripture bears this statement out, that it's a pattern, because nowhere else in the Bible do we see the disciples using these exact same words when they pray. And also, when Luke records what Jesus said, the words aren't exactly the same either. There's a parallel passage in Luke where we have the Lord's Prayer also, and it's very, very similar, but it's not exactly word for word the same. For instance, in Luke's account, it's just Father, just not our Father who art in heaven. Last week, I brought out reasons for why this should be so, why we should see patterns rather than a mechanical word-for-word recitation in prayer, and that is because God is personal. Prayer is a personal interaction with a personal God. It's not a mechanical manipulation of an impersonal spiritual power. We are persons who develop. We express meaning creatively, and so we express a personal relationship in that kind of context of development and creativity. We use meaningful words, not always the same words.